Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, I want to talk a little bit about sports psychology today.
I think we should.
All right. So there was this great article at the beginning of March of this year from Philly.com. Mm-hmm. And so I apologize for any of you who are not Phillies fans. I'm not a Phillies fan, necessarily.
Well.
Are you?
My father-in-law was with the Phillies.
Okay.
Yeah, so we kind of are attached to the Phillies. But the Braves, the Expos, and the Phillies.
I was going to say, but he has a little bust. Is it a bust of him?
A statue.
Yeah. Oh, the full statue.
He has a thing at
the Atlanta Braves.
Atlanta Braves, yeah, because he was a coach for the Braves. And the Expos.
Yeah.
Played for the White Sox. Then he went to World War II. And then, he was, the Phillies was the last team he was with. So we have a bit of a soft spot with the Phillies because of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, the title of this article was, "What Does First Phillies Mental Coach Do?" And so it's talking about this guy that they hired.
Oh, he's the first mental coach.
Yeah.
Got it.
So they're talking about this guy, Jeff Miller,
mm-hmm.
who is now working with the Phillies as a, what they're calling a mental coach. Right. But basically what he's doing is he's acting as a sports psychologist.
Sports psychologist.
He's not a psychologist.
He's not a trained therapist.
Right? Yeah. There's mm-hmm. none of, he doesn't do any of that formally. Mm-hmm. He's not licensed or anything like that. But man, everything he does sure does sound like sports psychology.
Sports psychology by any other name.
Yeah, he says that, you know, what his job is pretty simple. He mm-hmm. says, it is my job to help each of our players maximize their full potential.
Right. It's interesting because he began with the Phillies, or he got into this work, this line of work, because he would evaluate young draft prospects.
Right.
You know, my father-in-law was a scout for at the end of his career, he was a scout, and he would tell us stories about different players. Players whose names you would recognize, and he would talk about their athletic abilities. Mm-hmm. But then he said then I put them into the car and really talked to them about other things, and the other things were these psychological things. And it sounds like that's what Miller was doing mm-hmm. when he first started. But he found that he was very good at it.
Yeah,
and that's what I like about this story is that he found that this was a gift that he had.
Yeah.
That he could do these sort of informal psychological evaluations mm-hmm. on these players, and then he was able to turn that into improving their ability to play.
Yeah.
So it's a nice story. It's an interesting guy.
Because what we know and what we're actually, you know, those who are not actively in the sports world,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
maybe are just spectators or fans of the sports world, but what we are seeing more and more now is that difficult adaptation, the difficulty that some people have at adapting to life as a professional athlete,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if we expand it, it's life as an athlete in general.
Right.
Like one of the things I do is I have the opportunity to serve as the sports psychologist for our local soccer mm-hmm. club, and in that role, I get to talk with young athletes who perform and compete at a very high level, and we talk about goals and we talk about the whole mental aspect
mm-hmm.
of it. And it's actually fascinating in soccer here in the United States, because we have several domains that we think of when we look at and evaluate players. And while there's the physical, the sort of what we think of as purely athletic, we think about the tactical, the technical.
Right.
But one of the pieces, formally, through the U.S. Soccer mm-hmm. Association, is the psychosocial aspect of it.
You know, in athletics today, at almost every level,
mm-hmm.
Certainly at high school level and then college and professional level,
mm-hmm.
players are competing at such an such a high level, you're in high... I mean, I watch high school baseball players today, and I'm just astonished at the ability level of those kids, let alone college players. I mean, the college tennis players at the University of Florida, the women's tennis team. Mm-hmm. They've already competed at Wimbledon and the U.S. Open right. and all those professional tournaments. There was a the Australian Open? Whatever tennis tournament is going on right now, one of the women who's probably going to make it to the semifinals is 17.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how do you right. compete at a professional level when you're 17? Right. It's not just physical prowess anymore.
Right.
There's this emotional, psychological, mental component mm-hmm. that you have to possess if you're going to compete at that
right.
level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fascinating. And we've seen failures at this when we see, you know, these young athletes, you know, crush. Really just get through, you know, break through that ceiling mm-hmm. and become, you know, very, very famous, very, very right. fast, and very, very wealthy, very right. fast. And they just
crash.
Fall apart
Burn.
Because they make really bad decisions and mm-hmm. they really have a challenging time. So,
and I think that's probably a good point, is
right.
that all those catastrophes that we mm-hmm, see in professional mm-hmm. sports, whether it's spouse abuse or drug addiction or financial decisions or those, you know, other terrible decisions
right.
that players make, it's the lack of this mental right. Strength, this
right.
mental attitude, structure,
right.
That they don't possess. They possess the physical skills, but not the mental and emotional stability right. to handle it.
Well, you know, imagine going from, you know, a relatively, yeah. even middle class, even if it's middle class, but,
right.
you know, oftentimes it's low income mm-hmm. to middle class, you know, upbringing. And then at 19, 20, 21 years old, all of a sudden someone's saying that they're willing to pay you millions of dollars to
right.
play a game.
Sign your name here and we'll give you $3 million and
yeah.
you're 20 years old.
Right. What do you do with that?
I don't know that I could handle it at my age.
I thought you were going to say your age. No. The little climbing guy has to go a little bit higher
That's right.
for that one.
Mario Brothers, he couldn't make it. No,
but
I don't know. I don't
true.
Know how I understand the temptation, and especially kids who grew up in poverty.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, just by signing your name to something, somebody will pay you $3 million.
Yeah, you know, mentioning that it's not just young people. You know, I think about there was a for the club that I follow,
yeah.
The soccer club that I follow, Chelsea. There was a recent report that a Chinese club, a club from
mm-hmm.
China, wanted to purchase this player for £30 million a year.
What would that
translate to? They were going to give him £30 million a year to play in China. And so, if you think about that, you know, certainly that's over. That would be over about $50 million a year.
Yeah.
And so, we're talking about getting paid almost $1 million a week. If it was $52 million a year, it'd be $1 million a week. So almost $1 million a week. That is remarkable. That is very difficult to imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And so
you wouldn't have to do that for too many years.
Right? No. And but you know, imagine, and again I think that this guy is, you know, in his mid to late 20s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, imagine being, and he, I think he grew up in Brazil
mm-hmm.
and very poor.
Oh,
So imagine what that would be like and what that does to your, just to your psychology, to how you think about things. And so when
mm-hmm.
we think about sports psychology, it's so important that we include this kind of service, this kind of
mm-hmm.
assistance to especially young athletes
right.
as they're getting started, they're getting going. I mean, it's really, you know, it really messes or plays on your mind when all you hear is how amazing you are,
mm-hmm.
how talented
mm-hmm.
you are. And then, you know, the disparity between that and then maybe some difficulties you're having in school or, you know, when you have
right.
a relationship that's starting to fall apart or...
Mm-hmm.
You go into a slump. You know, one of the things that they talk about in this article is, you know, how do baseball players handle it when, you know, they're getting a hit every third time at bat, and then all of a sudden they enter this slump and
yeah.
then they're striking out
right.
more times than not.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a difficult adjustment and it's hard for some players to get back.
Yeah. We often hear in we hear it in all sports, golf and tennis, but every sport you hear it. You have to forget the mistakes you make
mm-hmm.
and put that out of your head because mm-hmm. if you keep thinking about the mistakes, you're going to keep making the mistakes. Yeah. I don't know how they do it.
Right.
I mean, it's just a it's part of the game that I don't quite understand. Is I watch tennis players, and I think, you know, a professional tennis players will double fault.
Right.
But you have to put that behind you.
Right.
And then do it right the next time.
Right.
And there's an enormous, I mean, you have 20,000 people watching right. you while you're going through this.
Yeah.
Who was the soccer player? Conte? Kate? What's his name?
For what?
Chelsea?
Uh-huh. You, the guy that I was just talking about?
No, the guy you showed on the video.
Oh, N'Golo Kanté.
Kanté.
Yeah, K-A-N-T-E.
And one of the things that is remarkable about him, besides his explosive speed, is that
remarkable.
You said to me, he just knows where the ball is going to be.
Right.
That's because his physical abilities are automatic,
mm-hmm.
and part of his mind is allowed to think about right. where the ball is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a mental thing that players have
right.
to do at that level.
Right.
He just does it better than anybody else.
Right.
But they all have to be able to do that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think about... My son said something one day, because he has a relatively good record. He plays goalie. Mm-hmm. He has a relatively good record with stopping penalty kicks.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, most penalty kicks are made. You know, right. Let's be honest. It's really difficult. You have mm-hmm. a goalie against a striker, and you're 12 yards apart.
Right.
The striker is
80 miles.
Yeah, the striker is at a distinct advantage.
Right. It's coming as fast as a baseball.
But I was talking to him, and he can tell. You know, he talks about how he can tell by the way the person puts their plant foot.
Mm-hmm.
He starts to get, he can take cues from the way that right. they approach and then where they put their plant foot as to which direction they're going to go.
That's the mental part of the game.
Yeah, and it's right. amazing. And, mm-hmm. and that comes from, you know, many athletes are capable of doing that, but you have to be able to get through the anxiety. You have to get through those mental
right.
components that interfere with your ability to access that awareness.
Mm-hmm. You might have the physical abilities to react.
Right.
But if you don't have that anticipation,
right.
you can't react fast enough because the ball is moving too quickly.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So,
those are the mental aspects of these very yeah. high-level competitive athletes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was one other thing I wanted to mention from something you said a moment ago, and talking about, you know, when you were talking about professional tennis players mm-hmm. recovering after a double fault or something. I was recently watching the ESPN documentary on O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
And they were in the first episode, and it's an incredibly long documentary, by the way. I've only made it through the first couple mm-hmm. episodes, but in that first episode, they're talking about how fantastic he was in
yeah.
college.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he first went to the Buffalo Bills, that first season, I think it was just the first season, maybe the first two seasons, he was horrible.
Right.
And mm-hmm. and they said, they were talking about how that could have you know, taken him completely out of the professional sports, and
could have gotten discouraged, start drinking.
And they recognized that it was because the style of play that the coach implemented. They wanted him to be more of a receiver out of the back and that kind of thing. And so when the next coach came in, was it Saban? Somebody, I think that's what they said. I don't remember. That was. I was
a long
young.
Time ago.
Yeah,
you were a young kid.
Yeah, I was, and I was never a massive fan
of football.
Yeah, but they were talking about how the next coach came in and built the team around a running game, and then he became the success that we mm-hmm. remember him as being
right.
in the NFL. So. Again, it takes that that grit. We've talked
right.
about grit before. It
right.
takes that
perseverance
and that drive to overcome that. And it all really comes down to your psychology.
Right. That's
and,
right.
and the way that you're handling those situations.
There is this... And in education, we call it metacognition. It's
right.
meta-awareness,
mm-hmm.
That you're aware mm-hmm. of everything that's going on around you. And you keep yourself organized, and you know when things are due,
mm-hmm.
and you know how much time to spend to adequately prepare. Right. And that's what these athletes are doing. Yeah. And this Jeff Miller is just a fascinating. Yeah. I'm gonna have to follow the season and see how he does, because it's a fascinating story.
It is
about the mental aspects of these games.
And I think you're seeing it more and more. And when Lakeland Football Club approached me to be the sports their sports psychologist, that was this is one of the first times, certainly the first time at Lakeland Football Club, but one of the first times in this region where a club has started talking about this aspect of the game. And so if you have a child, teenager, or even, you know, if you're a young adult who is looking into really high competitive, high competitive competition, whether it's sports or performance, dancing or singing or any other kind of performance, and sometimes even business, sort of goals. Working with a sport or performance psychologist can really be helpful to help you to ensure that you have that the mental part that's going to help you propel you to success.
Because regardless of the field, you have the in sports you have the physical attributes, but there is also this mental component that you cannot underestimate the importance.
And we've all
of
seen it. People who have the capability, have the skills, but just don't have the mental aspect. They just fall apart.
And the best ones, Derek Jeter, Michael Jordan, who's the quarterback for the Tom Brady. Tom Brady works at this every day.
Yeah.
You know, he has these mental things that he does.
Yeah.
The best ones are able to do this.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, that's it for today.
That was fun.
We could talk forever on sports psychology. So,
if any of you listeners know anything about this, man, I'd love to hear from you about it. Okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's fascinating. I got to follow this Jeff Miller.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Interesting story.
And we'll of course have a link in the show notes. Right. So if you want to check it out.
So, okay.
All right. That's it. Until next time. Stay happy. Stay healthy. And forget to be afraid.